segment here called State of the Franchise. I'm going to read you off some things about, I think both these franchises are in the process of imploding. Like I said, I think Seattle is a little further along than Pittsburgh. There's just a lot of in-house things that are going on that have now become out-of-the-house issues. And, you know, once you pull back the curtain, that means we can all see what's going on. So let me start with Seattle. I'm going to make my case here. And then you can either agree or disagree or add to it or put kindling on the fire if you want. But I'm going to start and say that with Seattle, Sherman's antics, the yelling at coaches when he doesn't need to, he didn't do that when Gus Bradley was there, and he didn't do that when Dan Quinn was there. So I feel like Pete Carroll is slowly losing his locker room. He's losing control over all these young, aggressive stars. You got the diminished performances. You could say Sherman's injured, but, I mean, at any point, they're all banged up. So that's just an excuse. They lost the defensive control, as I said. Who was the guy last year that they had? Was that Ken Norton?
Yeah, it was. It was.
Okay. So they lost Gus Bradley. They lost Dan Quinn. They lost Ken Norton. And now Richard Sherman decides he wants to be the offensive coordinator because nobody is there to get in between him or to catch him coming off the field. You got the patchwork O-line. They've never found a solid upgrade for them. It's just like Atlanta used to do. Now Seattle's the one doing it. They know they have a bad offensive line, and they're doing absolutely nothing about it. They're forced to pay the older, aging players over developing youth because they're starting to miss on those 4th, 5th, 6th rounders, 7th rounders, the undrafted guys. And since they're having to spend most of their money on the aging veterans, because that's what they can get, they can't bring in the youth guys when they need to. When the key players miss a game, their performance goes south. The key players to me, you got to look at Russell Wilson and you got to look at Earl Thomas. Now, Russell Wilson is the quarterback, so I understand, you know, when he misses plays, yeah, the offense is going to suffer because their offense isn't very good to start with. They have pieces, but they haven't figured out how to put it together. It's kind of like opening a brand new 1,000-piece puzzle box. There's 1,000 pieces right on the floor. All 1,000 of them are there, but you haven't really put them together. And then we noticed that their defense was just awful. They couldn't stop anybody. The NFC West is slowly catching up to them. A lot of these teams are building through youth and speed is the way they're basing these teams. It's only going to be a matter of time before their division really catches up to them. But, I mean, they're already looking at Arizona and the L.A. Rams that are only a few pieces away from kind of really knocking on their door, and both those teams usually win at least one game against them already. And it seems like the last thing I'm going to say, the problem started when they had to pay some of the stars and let others go elsewhere. Now, they chose wisely on which ones that they paid. They kept the core that they needed to, in my opinion. The problem is when they let the other guys go, they lost some of the leadership and camaraderie. You kind of broke up the band. The Beatles are great apart, but they were even better together, if that makes sense. And that is pretty much my case for how they are. Pete Carroll is slowly losing his locker room, and I see Seattle imploding right in front of us. It's probably technical difficulties. Pete Carroll losing the locker room a little bit. What are your thoughts?
Same thing. I think that, you know, when you get an overzealous Richard Sherman running his mouth all the time, you even see some differences in the way Cliff Avril and Bennett are starting to kind of talk against some of the rhetoric that's coming from the Sherman side of the fence. I think they are in real danger of losing Earl Watson to retirement. I think that injury scared him. I think from a running perspective, losing Marshawn Lynch really, really turned the tides for them and showed the weaknesses on their defense. And then they cut Christian Michael, or whatever, how you pronounce it, who was a much better running back. I think Thomas Rawls is serviceable at best, but I don't think he's a superstar. Again, they're less like what Aaron Rodgers was saying about Green Bay in that he thinks they should retool.
Yeah.
I think they're in rebuilding. I think they've got the defensive pieces, certainly, but they're going to have to address their payroll because they're paying some guys some top-notch dollars, particularly on that defensive side, that they're just not going to be able to maintain.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like I said, Pittsburgh is very similar to me as far as the same basic things. But instead of Richard Sherman, it's Antonio Brown's antics. The fact that he would even think about taking outside money from Facebook to do the Facebook Live in the locker room when that's the boys' club. Not that anything crazy happens in there. It's not like they're drowning puppies. But what happens in the locker room stays in the locker room. So if you start taking these videos like this, well, now people are going to be scared to take a shower or try to change clothes because you might accidentally see them in the wrong way or something like that. The fact that he's very selfish in the way, you know, he gets mad when the ball doesn't come to him. He's another diva receiver. I actually think he's going to be gone in a couple years when his contract comes up. I think Odell Beckham's probably in the same boat. But as far as Pittsburgh, instead of Sherman, it's Antonio Brown's antics. His touchdown celebrations, I mean, pretty much every time Antonio Brown gets in the end zone, he costs his team 15 yards. That's ridiculous. And no matter how many times Tomlin or Big Ben or anybody has said anything, he keeps doing it. So he's not learning anything. He doesn't care about the team enough to want to, you know, not cost him 15 yards. As far as the rest of the team, they struggled to build depth when the stars left, when Hines Ward left, when Polamalu left. They're trying to build that defense back, but it seems like they're only getting like one piece a year, and you should be able to reload at least three or four. It just, as good as they are at drafting, they seem to be finding backup guys. They can't find that starter yet. And the fact that, you know, the receiving core that Big Ben has right now, Antonio Brown is all world. He's probably an A+ easy. But at the same time, he has his drops. He has his shenanigans and antics. Past that, they either can't pass drug tests or they can't catch the ball, which seems to be a lot of other teams' problems too. Big Ben is starting to Favre a little bit, as I call it. Obviously, he's not going to retire this year because he's going to owe him $18 million or something like that. But I do see that Big Ben could call it quits the following year or within a couple years. He's been dinged up and hit more times than you know, the side of a barn at a Little League field or something like that. So, I mean, I could understand. But him voicing it is going to force their hand to try to find that Aaron Rodgers to come in behind them. They're going to have to start drafting quarterbacks now to find the next franchise guy. So he's kind of put them in a weird scenario. Tomlin, I still say, is absolutely what Terry Bradshaw said. He is a rah-rah cheerleader coach. He's a very motivating type coach as far as, you know, hey, we need to do this. We're the Pittsburgh Steelers. We need to do it this way because we're the Steelers. Instead of going, all right, well, the scheme dictates that you should go right. Why don't you go left here because they're putting a guy there? So he's not a strategy-based guy. And a lot of people said, well, so is Jason Garrett, to which, not just because I'm the Cowboy homer, I'll say that Jason Garrett can also recognize offensive talent, especially developing quarterbacks, because that was his specialty. I'm not sure what Tomlin's specialty is. Everybody tells me defense, but I've also watched their defense not draft well and be kind of terrible lately. I'll stop halfway through there.
No. I think you're spot on. I think there's probably more discipline problems in that, you know, maybe Tomlin has lost the locker room. Anytime you get your quarterback getting on in a national press conference and talking about retiring, I think that speaks to there being some issues a lot bigger than what we know. I would venture to say that Pittsburgh is probably in a worse state than Seattle. Because while I think, you know, Carroll maybe has lost a little bit of the locker room, I think you get rid of a Richard Sherman and that changes.
Right.
Versus the Steelers in that you've got issues all over the map, it appears. So, but the Rooneys are known to be very loyal to their coaches. It was odd to me, and actually it was actually very surprising to me that Tomlin's been around 15 years. I had no clue he'd been there that long.
Yeah, they've only had like three coaches in the last 60 years or so. It was Chuck Knoll, it was Bill Cowher, and then now it's Tomlin. And that was actually the next point I had coming up, the lack of numerous coaches. Now, I'm glad they're not the Browns and go through one every other Thursday, but I feel like the fact that they go, we pick a guy and we stick with that guy through no matter what. Well, what happens when you don't get the right guy? Because a lot of people say, well, Tomlin won that Super Bowl, you know, very quickly into his head coaching gig. And I reply with, you know, me or you, Reggie, you know, maybe even the trash guy on Elm Street could probably have coached that same roster. It was Cowher's roster. All he had to do was show up and point in a direction. I mean, it was, you know, in the same way that a lot of people say that John Gruden was playing with Tony Dungy's roster when he won, it really wasn't coaching that won him that Super Bowl. And then you got the Bell Williams situation. Is D'Angelo Williams going to keep playing? He's kind of getting up there in the the years, a little long in the tooth, as you guys like to say. Le'Veon Bell, I believe his contract is up either this year or next year. He's often injured, and when he's not injured, he can't pass drug tests and all kinds of other stuff. You know, how long are the Rooneys willing to wait to see how situations are going to go? Because the Rooneys are usually kind of like the Maras in New York. They don't typically like to wait too long. They're pretty – they don't knee-jerk, but they don't put up with a lot of crap either. I mean, you got right. The defense in Pittsburgh is getting better, but it's really, really slow, like I said. The AFC North is catching up to them. It's only going to take another piece or so, and the Bengals are going to be right back at the top. Cleveland can only go up from here. I think Hugh Jackson is actually doing some really good things. They could kind of be the Titans of the next couple years, the way the Titans went from 4 wins to like 8 or 9 this year. Cleveland could come up in the next couple years, so they're catching them. But as far as next year, I think the Ravens are the ones, if they can find a receiver to replace Steve Smith, the Ravens are going to win that division.
Right. Yeah, they definitely, I mean, Ozzie has just kind of been the staple, the consummate GM. I think right. Any team would love to have him. So as long as you've got him, you've got a chance. So absolutely. I think it's just one of those scenarios where they're going to take this thing over. For so long Pittsburgh has gone down this path of, oh, we're the Steelers, we're guaranteed, and I think that's wearing off now.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to keep up with this Big Ben situation. I'm like you, and I agree. I think the fact that he kind of mentioned that he wanted to retire, I think that did more damage than it'll ever do good. I think now they're looking right. to replace him, and you have to go down a path of replacing him. But then with who, right? I mean, because
right.
I think he was a product of the team that he inherited, and not necessarily that he was that guy that could come in and just change the culture that way. So we'll see.
But, just to finish up that, their O-line's not amazing. Le'Veon Bell does make it look a lot better than it is. And, you know, if you do get rid of Antonio Brown, then you're stuck with a lot of guys that just drop the ball all the time. So, you know, long story short, I guess, Seattle's in the process of imploding. Pittsburgh may be imploding before our eyes. Thanks to Big Ben and Antonio Brown, they're going to have to spend a lot of high draft picks looking for star wide receivers and that don't drop the ball, and also quarterbacks who can take over when Ben is done.
Yeah, to Antonio Brown situation, I think they're better off cutting their losses at this point. He obviously can't be controlled.